I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. As we reported, the U.S. and China concluded talks in Beijing today. China has become an increasingly important player on the world stage as its economic, military, and political power have grown. But there's one kind of power China lacks: soft power. That's the influence a country exerts through the attractiveness of its culture and values. China is trying to increase its soft power, but characteristically, its leaders are trying to do so in a state-planned way. The World's Mary Kay Magstad reports from Beijing.
The title of the Chinese Communist Party magazine, Chou Shi, means seek truth from facts. And its editor, Li Baoshan, thinks it's time the world hear more about how China sees the facts.
There are more Western values flowing to China than Chinese values flowing to the West. Unlike trade, this is a big deficit for China. I think it's because Chinese and Western media report the Western perspective, but when Chinese media report the Chinese perspective, or Chinese values, no one's listening.
That's arguable. After all, there's a difference between not listening and not agreeing. But the Chinese government has decided it's time to be more aggressive in getting its perspective out and getting people to like it and embrace it. As part of that effort, the state-run Xinhua News Agency is setting up its own international TV news network to compete head-to-head with CNN, the BBC, and Al Jazeera.
Gulu, 350 kilometers from the capital, Kampala.
This is just a sample. The Xinhua English-language TV network goes live in July. Wu Jinsai is its deputy editor.
What we can do is to provide as fully as possible our coverage in the world, not like some Western media, which turn a blind eye to things that they don't care so much and only focus on its own stereotype agenda-setting stories.
In other words, Xinhua, and by association, China, wants to be seen as a champion of the underrepresented by covering Africa and Latin America more than Western news outlets do. Wu says Xinhua will use its existing newswire network of 700 foreign-based journalists in 123 bureaus. He admits their English language and television production skills could still use some work, but he says they are working on it. Still, there's a nagging question.
I'm wondering how you compete internationally when there's a sensitive story about China that's being censored within China. So if international journalists are writing about those issues, you've got BBC, Al Jazeera, CNN, reporting those issues, and you're not, a viewer is not going to have a lot of confidence in your news reporting. So how will you deal with that issue?
I think, first of all, there are different understandings of the word sensitive issues.
And anyway, Wu argues, every country has sensitive issues. Maybe so, but not every country has a propaganda department, like China's, that issues daily instructions on what journalists can and can't cover. Eventually, Wu admits as much.
In terms of politics, or in terms of politically sensitive issues, it's up to the Chinese law, because in the law it rules that we cannot break anti-government rules.
That could pose a problem, as censoring isn't likely to win Xinhua's new network many admirers. David Shambaugh, director of the China Policy Program at George Washington University's School of International Affairs, says China's still trying to figure out the influence game. He says, at this point, its media outreach falls more into the category of public diplomacy than what academic Joseph Nye meant when he coined the term soft power.
The way Nye defines it, anyway, is intrinsic to a society, intrinsic attraction of a society to others, like a magnet.
And in a 2008 survey on soft power in Asia by the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, Shambaugh says the Chinese didn't do so well.
They score very low on every category except traditional culture, basically, and history. But otherwise, a seven-nation survey shows that China's soft power appeal is really rather low. Their public diplomacy, however, is very robust.
That robust public diplomacy includes generous aid programs to Africa and South America. That makes governments there happy, because the aid ostensibly comes without strings attached, though China does occasionally call in favors. China's public diplomacy has also been robust in another way, trying to silence speech that China's leaders consider too critical of their policies. Chinese officials succeeded last year in pressuring the Frankfurt Book Fair to withdraw its invitation to two Chinese dissidents. And Chinese diplomats and government-backed Chinese student groups regularly protest when the Dalai Lama or other exiled Tibetans are invited to speak in the West. Nicholas Bakelin is senior China researcher for Human Rights Watch.
The goal is not necessarily to win a debate over a particular point, but just to be able to present a coherent, detailed, alternate view and to present it in a forceful way with the backing of the government, a sort of threats of reprisals if the other party doesn't back down.
China's leaders don't seem to have registered that this kind of strong-arming costs them soft power, which is why another soft power effort by the Communist Party is so interesting. This is the newsroom of the Global Times, an English-language newspaper that does critical investigative reporting of social issues in China. Its parent company is the People's Daily, the Communist Party's newspaper. Yet, editor Li Hongwei describes his paper as an outsider upstart.
I think it's an alternative newspaper for foreigners to understand China and know what's happening in China. I think that but foreigners need to know more and need to know more voices from the grassroots of the Chinese society, not just from the officials and the party cadres.
In the years since the Global Times began publishing, its circulation has climbed to 150,000, reaching diplomats, foreign correspondents, and others who help shape opinion about China abroad. Again, Nicholas Bakelin of Human Rights Watch.
I think the Global Times is an attempt to see whether you can have a government-controlled outlet in English that would broach on these issues that normally cannot be discussed in China, but sort of trying to spin them in a way that ultimately is favorable to the government.
The Global Times also hedges its more daring investigative stories with a strong nationalistic streak that calls on China to be strong and to say no to foreign countries. But if soft power is what China is after, there's that problem again with mixed messages. A bellicose, nationalistic China has more potential to repel than attract. If they want soft power, the challenge for China's leaders is to genuinely change their tone and to embrace values the world can more readily admire. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead in Beijing.